Light, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is Luke 23, verse 33 and 34. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. And Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing of his garments among themselves. I've taught on this a number of times over the years. I think it's one of those words that needs to be visited annually, probably on a Sunday morning instead of just at noon. But it's so significant. There's a place in the Gospels where Jesus had cursed the fig tree. They come, they see it's cursed, and they said, Lord, the tree that you cursed is cursed, it's withered. Then Jesus talked about the fact, he said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, just say to this mountain to be removed, and it'll be removed. But then he goes on, he finishes that like, okay, that's cool. Then he ends it with the weirdest thing. But if you stand forgiving those, and I thought, what has that got to do with anything? Because the biggest issue that Christians usually deal with in life is about forgiveness and not giving in to resentment. And unfortunately, the fall has affected every one of us. And there's not a single Christian, no matter how mature they are, that is fully and continually expressing Christ-likeness at the highest level. That'll be completed when we see him face to face. So any believer, no matter how much respect you have for them, no matter how much they've walked with the Lord, impact they've had on the world, can get it wrong from time to time. And often people get it wrong in the context of our own lives. And so if we're going to walk in Christ-likeness, if we're going to walk out our union with him, this issue of living this life of faith is connected to, and he didn't do that arbitrarily, that forgiveness is going to be one of the biggest issues the enemy's going to use to distract you from living a life of faith. And I've always been grateful for what Jesus said. For years, I love this verse when he said, and in the language here is that he was saying repeatedly, had been saying and was continually saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Which one of the things that ministers to me is just because you've extended forgiveness towards somebody doesn't mean that you never have to stand in that again. Because often what can happen is they may do something, or somebody may even say something about them to you, and the enemy brings back memories. And once again, you have to take your stand in Christ and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they were doing. What really lit this verse up for me some years ago was understanding what Jesus was saying. When you say they don't know what they're doing, he's basically saying they're doing the best they can with what they have to work with. So, Father, forgive them. And that really was sort of an explosive revelation to me, because even if somebody's intentionally trying to hurt me and do what they do, then that's just their brokenness. That's the effect of the fall. And if they were a redeemed person, if they were a pre-fallen Adam or Eve, they would never say, oh, gosh, that's not good to do, because that's sin. And we're created to not steward sin, but the very life of God. And so brokenness is a result of the fall. Now, is there accountability? Do people have to suffer consequences? Sure. Are there people in prison because they've done things? But Jesus said about all them, what they were doing to Christ here was horrible. He had never done anything wrong. And yet he said, Father, forgive them, for they're doing the best they can with what they have to work with. Now, Jesus came and died on the cross so that you and I as human beings would have more to work with. So we wouldn't live under the reign of sin, though we slip out, don't abide all the time, and come up with all kind of legitimate excuses to have resentment. You know, I mean, I've had Christians, mature Christians, come to me and say, I just need to ask you to forgive me. I say, okay. And then they'll go, because I've just been really angry at you because you didn't more vocally support a certain politician. I thought, really? I thought, you're mad at me for that? Why would you be mad at me for that? And I think that what they said was, I've had to forgive you. And I thought, well, I wish you hadn't told me that. Now I have to forgive you. If people don't know you, but here's a little extra. If people don't know that you've had something in your heart towards them, do not go to them. If anybody's ever told you that's the right thing to do, you can't show me that in Scripture. That's a horrible thing, because all you've done is plant a seed in their heart. Now they're going to struggle. Let them keep thinking you were wonderful all the time. It's not going to, you know, why would you want to tell them? That's between you and God. If they don't know. But in that situation too, I had to just step back and go, Father, they did the best they can, what they have to work with. they're thinking, they thought that was right, it's okay, and I'm supposed to do this thing, I didn't do it, and they're struggling. Lord, just reveal to them the more they have to work with. And you have to pray those same things for me. And that really helps me so that I don't have to forgive them 1,000 years down the road and struggle with bitterness. Up front, I realize that they just don't get it yet in that area of their life. And Lord, that's between you and them. There are times also when people walk out of our lives. It may not necessarily be sinful. Maybe. I don't think separation, real separation, is really God. But sometimes people, things happen. There's a breakup, there's a whatever. And it's not about, I'm not talking about marriages and that kind of thing, but just relationships, or maybe somebody moves away and that even hurts you. When people walk out of your life, whatever the reason, what the enemy tries to tell us is that my best story has just been ruined and it'll never be as good as it could have been, which is a great lie from the enemy. You're in Christ. You've been placed into his life and to his story that he's now living through your story. And nobody has the ability to walk out of your life and take his story for you with them. All it means is that their part in your story is over for now. They might walk back in. When another example of this, and to me this is so powerful, is when Stephen was stoned to death because his disposition was just like our Lord's. Let me read these few verses and then this is taking a few extra minutes, but I believe this is a prophetic word for all of us. This is verse 54 of chapter 7 of Acts. Now when they had heard this, the things that Philip had said to them about the gospel, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. I don't know how mad that is, but if anybody starts gnashing their teeth at you, that's not good. But being, the word is continually, being full of the Holy Spirit, operating out of his union with Christ, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God. You know, when you're being hurt and when you're being rejected, sometimes you have to gaze intently past what's going on, past the person, and see the glory of God and understand the glory of God's going on here, even though it may not feel like it in the moment. There's redemptive stuff happening. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried with a loud voice, covered their ears. They rushed upon him with one impulse, and when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul, the Apostle Paul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord, "Lord, receive my spirit." And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And having said that, he fell asleep. Sounds a lot like, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Now, how was he able to do that? One, because he was being full of the Holy Spirit. He was walking out union with Christ. He was seeing things through the eyes of Christ. He was in union with the emotions of Christ, the thoughts of Christ. He saw the glory of God. Isn't that what Jesus told Mary and Martha when he came 4 days after Lazarus had died? If you would just believe, you would see the glory of God. And I believe that Stephen, he didn't know who Saul was going to be. He just knew that his story was no longer just his story. Jesus was telling Jesus' story through Paul's life. And whatever was going on, the glory of God was happening. And that God was doing something to have redemptive purposes. And so he could say, "Father, forgive them. Because they're not costing me anything. They don't have the ability to take away or change or alter my story. Because it's no longer my story." And you can fold all kinds of stuff people do into my story. And so, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. They've done the best they can for what they had to work with. And what came out of this story, this part of Jesus' story? Stephen went to be with Jesus. He saw him standing there. This man, Paul, the result of this, Paul got saved. And hundreds of millions of people's lives have been transformed because of this. Not just, listen to this now, not just happenstance that Paul came to Christ. When he's on the Damascus Road, Jesus said, "Why do you keep kicking against the goads?" And the idea there, his conscience. He saw how Stephen responded. He saw Christ dressed up like Stephen, responding the same way Christ did at the cross. He saw that, and he couldn't get past it. Even though he had slaughtered Christians, he couldn't get past that. And so Stephen, in that moment, it wasn't a fail. It wasn't the great tragedy of his life. He saw the glory of God. He didn't understand what that all was about. But this was one of the most significant events that impacted all of our lives still today, because Stephen didn't believe that somebody had the power to rob him of God's best for him. And he was able to forgive them, asking the Father, don't hold this against them. Lord, forgive them. They're doing the best they can with what they have to work with. See, when we don't give in to unforgiveness, not only is it transformative in our lives, but it could transform generations of people that are connected to your life. I just think that's something we have to be reminded of, because people disappoint us all the time. You disappoint people all the time. I disappoint people all the time. I don't say the right things about the right politicians sometimes. We're because of our brokenness. We get hurt. We get offended. Some of us get our feelings hurt worse than others. But if we can step back in Christ and from Christ, say, Lord, they're doing the best they can with what they have to do, have to have to work with. Your glory is going on here. I don't see it all. This person's walked out of my life, maybe even walked out of your life in wrong ways, in sensitive ways. You're going, your story's not over. You came that I might have life and life more abundantly. Not they came that I might have life and life more abundantly. You came. As long as you don't walk out of my life, plan A is still on. Just their part of plan A is not there. As a matter of fact, if they walked out of my life, even if they did it in an evil way, you're so big that I couldn't experience the plan A with them still part of my story with where they're at. So practical, so powerful. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.